नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 69, Narada Visits Krishna's Palaces. We're going to read 38, 39, and 40 today. So we can just do this one, I guess, responsively. Siddhama Yogamayaste Durdarsha Api Mayinam Yogeshwaratmam Nirbhata Bhavatpara Nisheshvaya Siddhama Yoga Mayaste Durdarsha Apimayinam Yogeshwaratmam Nirbhata Bhavatpada Nishevaya. The Dharma. We know Yoga Maya, the mystic potencies, Te, your, Dardarshaha, impossible to see, Api, even, Mayinam, for great mystics, Yoga Ishvara, O Lord of all mystic power, Atman, O Supreme Soul, Nirbhataha, perceived, Bhavat, your, Pada, to the feet, Nishevaya, by service. Translation, purport. I already had it. Narada said, now we understand your mystic potencies, which are difficult to comprehend, even for great mystics. O Supreme Lord, Master of all mystic power, only by serving your feet have I been able to perceive your powers. According to the Acharyas, this verse indicates that even great mystics like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot fully comprehend the mystic power of the Supreme Lord. Text 39, we can read together. Anujana himam deva lokaste yastasa putam Hayat kami devod kayam lila bhuvana bhavani. O Lord, please give me your leave. I will wander about the worlds which are flooded with your fame, loudly singing about your pastimes, which purify the universe. Report. Even Narada Muni was bewildered to see Lord Krishna's amazing pastimes as a human being. Therefore, with the words, Anujanihi Mom Deva, he requests permission to return to his normal service of traveling and preaching. Inspired by what he has seen, he wants to preach widely the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Text 40. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahman Dharmasya Bhaktaham Kartata Anumodita Tachikshayan Lokam Imam Astitakutramakita. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Brahmana, I am the speaker of religion, its performer and sanctioner. I observe religious principles to teach them to the world. My child, so do not be disturbed. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Lord Krishna wanted to dispel Narada's distress, which the sage felt because she saw Lord Krishna worshipping the demigods and even Narada himself. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explained Lord Krishna's feelings as follows. As I state in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharya shishya tat tat evataro janah. Whatever a great person does, ordinary people follow. Thus I bathed your feet today in order to help propagate the principles of religion. In the past, before I began my pastimes of directly teaching religious principles, you came and offered prayers to me after I had killed the Keshi demon. But I simply listened to your elaborate prayers and glorification and did nothing to honor you. Just remember this and consider. Do not think that you have committed an offense by allowing me to bathe your feet today and accept the water as holy remnant. Just as a son does not offend his father by touching him with his foot while sitting on the father's lap, so you should understand that in the same way, my son, you have not offended me. So here we have some more insight on this most wonderful great sage, Narada Muni. Surely he's in a strange predicament here because the Lord is worshiping him, and he is a little bit stressed out because of that. So Krishna is trying to appease him by saying, I'm just trying to show everybody what to do. So don't take it so personally. But anyway, the Lord is very kind. He comes here to demonstrate how to receive the devotees with a proper attitude. Also, we can see that Narada Muni, after he's been amazed by all these pastimes of Krishna as a householder, doing some very miraculous things, mystical things, as is described here, he's ready to set out and go preach around the universe. We have some pretty ecstatic preachers in our movement that have some of the curse. Like Prabhupada said, he had a little bit of Narada Muni's curse of not being able to stay in one place too long. He never stayed in any of his temples for more than a few weeks. And we see even some of our preachers, they constantly on the go. I live with one whenever she's here, and she's constantly going and going. And I remember Radhana Swami, one time I heard him speak, he said that when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't really even know where the light switch is or the door or anything because he's in a different place every night. So you can imagine that it must be really difficult, you know. You don't know what you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, anything. So it's not easy. I think Narada Muni had it a little bit easier. He had a less maintenance body. He could just travel wherever he wanted, no problem, throughout all the spaceways, didn't have to worry about airline tickets or anything, and making all those arrangements that they spend hours doing. So definitely a special personality. And here he's so amazed and fired up. He's always fired up. But here he's really anxious to get out there in the universe and preach. Sounds like he had it. He describes the universe as being already, you know, the glories are already being sung in all the different worlds. He's just going to go there and refresh. So our preachers have it really tough. They go to places where no one's ever even heard of Krishna. When Prabhupada came, how tough it was for him to come and have abominable foodstuffs right next to his, you know, boga in the kitchen refrigerator. So difficult. But Prabhupada pursued because he was very much inspired, also just like Narada Muni, by his spiritual master, to spread the glories of Krishna wherever and whenever. So we can speak for a long time about Prabhupada's glories in doing that. So what can we do about getting to this level of inspiration, of actually going out there and unconditionally spread the holy name? We did come to a point where we became so enlivened that we took up this Krishna consciousness full-heartedly. And I'm sure we all have our own stories. Probably allured by the philosophy. I know that's what really convinced me. Prabhupada was so convinced of the philosophy that how could you not be convinced? It was so authoritative that yes, this must be the absolute truth. Other people will come into the temple and they're just amazed by the beauty of the devotees and of the altar and the worship that goes on here. So many different reasons why people might come. I was in Tampa last week, a few days ago, and I took my mother to church, and I was thinking of what I might be saying, you know, in this class. And so I asked her, I said, "What inspires you to go to church?" And she goes, "Actually, there's a new preacher today. I really want to go hear him." He says, "I hope I can hear him," because she goes, I've been going to church. I can't understand a word of my preacher because he's been from South Africa, has an accent. I don't understand one word." And so in the middle of the service, the choir started. And my mother nudged me and said, "This is why I come." She's inspired by the music. And she also said the beautiful stained glass. It's a beautiful, you know, like those old-time churches where there's actually stained glass and, you know, it's really beautiful. And she said, "This is what inspires me." So you can see different people need to feel that presence of God within themselves. And at some point, that inspiration will lead you to hopefully do something about it. And fortunate are those people, those persons that heard Srila Prabhupada, got a book, or saw a devotee, or just saw the smile of a devotee, and became inspired, and they immediately went after more association, and gave money for that book, and read that book, and began to inquire. Fortunate are those people that just immediately said, "Well, it's just something I can do. Can I do some service?" Right? And so this is, of course, not always the case. I have a little catalog that this little old man, I think he's passed away now because he doesn't answer the phone anymore, that I get a catalog for carving tools. And on it, it has a little quotation. I don't know from where, but it says, "Don't put off what you can do today, tomorrow." And it says, "Carve today," or something like that. But it's a good thing that, you know, how fortunate it is that we come in contact with a pure devotee in some way, come in Krishna consciousness. Don't put it off for another lifetime. Do something about it. And that is such an important thing. How many times have you been to a class and you've gotten so inspired by it? Or you've been into one of those kirtan experiences and you're just like totally enlivened. And you're thinking in your mind all during class, "I'm going to give up those bad chanting habits that I have. I'm going to go out and go door to door on that party they've been talking about. I'm going to go out on Harinam, yes, on Friday. For sure I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to give double my tithing this month," or whatever, you know. And you get inspired, you get home, and you're thinking about, "Oh, what should I offer to Krishna for breakfast? And oh, and I have that." And then, no, for sure, it's gone. That inspiration is gone, right? And you forget about those things. It's so easy. Because Maya also is very inspirational. She has her tricks. Just think of all the inspired materialists. I mean, really inspired. My mother had the TV on for news and stock market, whatever, and all these presidential candidates, like 16 of them or something, they're inspired. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll be president. But these are all materialistic goals in mind. The inspiration to get fame, glory, whatever. They're all in the modes. They're all controlled by the modes of nature. Just like you see this Trump guy or something, I don't know what his name is, mode of ignorance or, you know, passion. And, you know, Hitler was so passionate, also ignorant. Then there's Who's the lady that goes to Africa and sees all the apes and stuff? You know, takes care of the animals. You know, Jane Goodall, or I don't know, something like that. Something like that. She's inspired to spend all that time out there in the wilds with these gorillas, you know, inspired by goodness, whatever. And then we have Maitreya out here, so inspired to make some nice thing on the property here for Krishna, for Prabhupada, you know, to inspire other people to come here and see the nice property. And he's tormented by what? Heat, cold, mosquitoes, moccasins. You know how many moccasins he's seen sitting right next to him? He can't tell you. But he's inspired transcendentally because he realizes, if I just please Krishna, I will be pleased. And I will receive that release from all these bondages. Finally get out of this material world. So that inspiration of wanting to be delivered is pure. Right now, at this very moment, in a room in Lake City, Bibhatsa Prabhu only has a few hours left of his life in this body. But he's met his goal. He's got Prabhupada chanting in his ear, the devotees coming and encouraging him. So that inspiration, when he first came to Krishna consciousness, of reaching that perfection in this lifetime, he's achieving it at this very, very moment. So this is the success that we can expect in this lifetime. If we just simply follow Prabhupada's morning program, such a simple thing that he asks of us, we have that responsibility to the soul. And so therefore we have to take up this process the way Prabhupada said. In this lifetime, we have to do something different, and Prabhupada has lined it out for us, how to make it such that we can be delivered. How many of you ever had to start a weed eater or something with a string? You know, you pull it, and, you know, this is the season for it. You know, you're out there. It has instructions how to start a weed eater, right? First, you have this little bulb, and you pump it full of, so you get the gas up there, right? You pump it 10 times or whatever it says on there. And so that's like the inspired, you know, person. Finally, they're just full of this material world. I've had it, enough of it. You know, I want to get out of here. And then you have a choke. You put it on choke, right? And so that's like an extra spark. That's the spark. That inspiration is a spark to the soul that, yes, I'm going to do something. Now I just have to do it, right? So you put the choke on and you pull and boom, you've started your Krishna consciousness by that inspiration. And then you take the choke off and you're on idle, right? And it runs very smoothly. And it'll run very smoothly if you follow Prabhupada's morning program and instructions throughout your life. There won't be any putt-putts and all that kind of stuff, up and downs. But if there is, you could just get back on schedule. And sure enough, you can achieve your goal. So it is very possible. Maybe every once in a while we have to put some little gas cleaner in there, get out the water or something like that. A little contamination comes. But in general, this process is perfect. We might need a little more enlivening, which is possible. At some time in our life, we want to get more inspired. We don't want to just be on idle. We want to go deeper in our sadhana. We might want to become more enlivened in our chanting, more deep in our studies of the scripture, things like that. Become more meaningful in our service. So it's our rightful heir to actually take full advantage of this fortune that we have. Make it fresh at every moment. We shouldn't see ourselves just getting to that comfort zone of, yeah, everything's all right, I'm doing my service, and I'm chanting my japa, and everything's fine, and, you know, hopefully I'll make it out of here. But no, we have to realize that that soul is hankering. It's hankering to be released from this. I know that when I get into some kind of a slump or anything, I just simply open Prabhupada's books, and the philosophy is so enlivening that immediately, you're jutted up back to where you were. So you can think of just Srila Prabhupada, of how he had to wait a long time before he could fulfill all that inspiration. And what did he do during all those years? Many years. He was inspired, instructed to go spread Krishna consciousness in the English language. So, but it took him many, many years before he did that. But in the meantime, it wasn't like the spark went out. He was reading and writing and preaching every opportunity he could. So at the same time, we should also realize that we can always increase. Prabhupada said, 16 rounds minimum. Always try to increase. So we should realize that and not get into that comfort zone thinking that I don't have to work a little harder. Although the soul is there, it's full of Krishna consciousness. Like we read this morning, that one passage where it's saying that it's not like an outside thing that's going to come in and make us Krishna conscious. It's just sleeping. So we have to keep it awake, otherwise we'll fall asleep again. Maya is very good at making us all zombies. So we have to keep awake. And that takes some work on our part. How lamentable it is to think that if Prabhupada didn't keep that spark going, he never would have come here. You know, he wouldn't have looked for that opportunity to come. And you can see by the Prabhupada's inspiration, now we're all inspired to also try in a little teeny way to spread the glories of the Supreme Lord. But further back also, just think, if the Goswamis hadn't been inspired by Lord Chaitanya, written all the books that we take advantage of. And then the Goswamis, they inspired who? Shyamananda, Narottam, Srinivas, to put all the books in a cart and to go off, right? And spread Krishna consciousness all throughout wherever they could go until they got, you know, robbed by Hiram Bir or something like that. Hiram Bir, I think his name was, some king. But the king got so inspired just seeing the books. Although he was not favorable to Krishna consciousness, he was a Muslim, he just saw the books and he realized these are special. And then he waited till that special person came by and was inspired and actually took a nation by Srinivasacharya. So we can see what a valuable thing that we have. And so sometimes we get inspired to do projects, right? And we get so inspired and then no one comes on board to help us. How difficult it is, right? And then we think of Prabhupada, oh, how difficult it must have been until he got some disciples, right, to keep on going, even though the starting to snow and things that he never saw before, pretty disenchanting here in the West. I know, but I had the nice experience the other day that, you know, there's only like two of us out here in the fields, you know, trying to do this project. And luckily we have one very nice woofer outside. He's out there hopefully listening. But he came by to also help. But Adi Dave came by and said, you know, I want to interview you about your project. I want to help you make a brochure. And I'm thinking, wow, that's inspiring. You know, thanks a lot, you know. So it helps. We need to encourage each other. We're not like Prabhupada where, you know, Krishna will come visit us in a dream and inspire us even on the boat after a heart attack. You know, unlikely we'll have Krishna's darshan like Prabhupada had. But we need the darshan and the inspiration from other people. We need to encourage each other in their projects, in their Krishna consciousness, whatever they're doing. Hare Krishna. So, yes, we need to inspire each other. It takes a lot for us to get over this overwhelming illusion of the material world. She's captured everybody else. We don't want her to capture us also. But it's also described that maybe some of our projects aren't successful. Maybe that inspiration gets, you know, all of a sudden this doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to. But it's said that failure is a pillar of success. And even in Krishna consciousness, we find that even Prabhupada found that, you know, it didn't work out, some of the things he tried, and Johnson and things like that. So we have to see with the spiritual eyes, the transcendental eyes, that that this is a way to advance in a different way. You can see some people work so hard for something in Krishna consciousness and maybe not successful, but you see that they've developed that willingness, that courage, the strength, so many different wonderful qualities that come out. Cooperation, intelligence, creativity is churned out of this endeavor to follow this inspiration. The devotee can also see with spiritual eyes that oh, maybe this is a test from Krishna. I just need to tweak something, or I just need some more help, or I need to pray more, something like that. So these are all different ways we can become purified by following inspirations. But we need to keep filled up with Krishna. Otherwise, the not so successful attempt will you know, put us under for some time. So we need to be filled up with Krishna all the time to be able to see him in all of our attempts to become Krishna conscious. Narada Muni was very lucky. He went to Krishna's palaces and got really fired up, being amazed at Krishna right there in front of him doing all these things. It does help to be fully Krishna conscious all the time. And to be that way, always amazed. But we're not always Krishna conscious. Therefore, we need to become amazed. We need to come to the temple and become amazed at the wonderful deity worship that's going on here in this temple. And we need to make the whole property so amazing, and the devotees have to be so amazing that when anyone comes in this property, that they are like Narada Muni and go, wow. I just want to become Krishna conscious, and I want to spread it. I want to find out what's going on. So it is our duty to put out whatever we can to make Krishna consciousness an amazing thing. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes even devotees, they hear the glories of Krishna, like Narada Muni heard the glories, saw the glories of Krishna, and we hear the glories of Krishna every day. And we have access to hear about the glories of Krishna, but sometimes we get more amazed by just with our little gadgets at our fingertips. We're more amazed at the newest thing here and there, right? And we forget about the glories of Krishna. We start realizing the glories of the IT professionalists, of the computer, you know, the scientists and things like that that make everything easier and more comfortable for our existence here. So we have to be very careful that we stay amazed at Krishna's pastimes by hearing them and talking about them. Just like on book distribution or preaching, you become more amazed when you start talking about Krishna. You really do. You just get more inspired. So you can imagine Narada Muni when he goes around the universe and talks about Krishna. He's up and out, going to the next universe, always staying inspired by preaching. Of course, the books, they do that. They do that by themselves. They can inspire anyone. Therefore, we have to get them into people's hands. And they'll do all the work themselves, just like Bhakti Josh. He got that one book, right? And then he started inquiring. And now what does he do? Just like Narada Muni, he got so inspired. Do you see him anymore? No, he's out on Sankirtan. He's gone. He's out there, you know, in the world distributing the glories of Krishna. Such a wonderful, inspirational example of the potency of Srila Prabhupada. But this is, it's infectious. I'm sure by him being with those other boys in the party, we'll be lucky to see him again. You know, he'll probably just keep on going. And another occasion, he's, you know, every opportunity to preach, I'm sure he'll catch it up. So we shouldn't be envious of Bhakti Josh and all those people that are new devotees that are so inspired and everything like that. We should be happy. We should get close to them so we can become infected with that inspiration, that fresh inspiration of becoming Krishna conscious, and do whatever we need to do to also be inspired, become inspirational for other people. I just got, someone came to my door last night, it was a devotee. They had just gotten back from book distribution door to door And they said, I heard you want to go out into the Sankirtan. You want to do door to door? And I said, yeah, I do, you know. But of course you get lazy, and you know, you think, no one's ever going to mention it. Sure enough, she goes, well, on Thursday night, we'll meet at the temple, we'll go out and door to door. And I thought, that's what I need. I need that slap on the, you know, on the back to get out there again, because I know how wonderful it is. You become so inspired when you see someone take that book and just appreciate it for whatever, you know, or just appreciate, you know. I was in High Springs going door to door 1 year ago, and it was getting pretty rough because it's all Christian people, you know, every door. And then finally some Christian goes, you know, I don't want the book or anything, but she said, I just appreciate that you all are out there doing this, you know. And so that was worth it, you know. Even she got the benefit of saying some appreciation. So I figured, well, that was successful, even just that little bit. So, the Christian consciousness is such a wonderful thing. We're so fortunate, and we need to make other people fortunate. We don't have it quite so easy. The world isn't, you know, singing the glories of the Lord, and we just have to go out there and remind them. But we do understand that they are Krishna conscious. Everyone is God conscious. It's inside of them. It just has to be woken up. And so whatever we can do to wake that up, we should take it as our heart and soul and pray to Prabhupada to have that strength and that ability and the art of doing that. So we can take some lessons here from Narada Muni. Not that we'll ever be able to do any keep up with him. Even our greatest preachers will never keep up with him. We can hopefully that he goes so fast that he kicks up some of this transcendental dust and it splashes us in the face and keeps us awake in Krishna consciousness. But we can try our best to do what we can for Srila Prabhupada in this regard, and keep Narada Muni as one of our role models. This will also keep us inspired. So anyone have any questions or any nice stories? Okay.
You mentioned how you hear a good class and you get excited, or a kirtan gives you that energy that you're looking for to keep things happening. But you said, obviously, it doesn't carry through too long a period. But a lot of us have been, not myself, but others have been practicing Krishna consciousness for a very long time. And sometimes you sort of get into this rhythm, or almost like you put it on autopilot. You come to the kirtan, yeah, I was here, or you can sit in class, you don't really, really hear. How do we avoid flipping that switch that just makes it almost like the routine rather than the bliss of doing what we're doing?
Go out of sankirtan. Go out there in the material world where it isn't so blissful, and you hear other things. And you become disturbed seeing all these other people not getting what we're getting. And you have appreciation. You come back and you have more appreciation for what you did here that morning. And you actually are more awake in the classes or awake in your japa, because you know you have to go out there. And you have to have that strength and that ability. Prabhupada always encouraged the devotees to chant all the rounds, you know, japa together for the book distributors, to have that strength to go out there. So I find that's one, for me anyway, that gives me a little jolt, and it makes me want to be more attentive, because I realize that it isn't always smooth sailing, and it might be that we might get swept away at some point. There's some devotees that, like Vijay, I remember when he was in Miami Temple, he was brand new, and he saw Pankaj Agoda and Sukada and Nartaka coming back from the airport. He was just washing pots because he was new. And he saw them all come back from the airport all fired up, and he said, hey, what's going on? You know, what? They're all, you know, I want to do what they're doing. And you know what? He still has it on choke. He's still out there. He's full fired. What's he doing sitting at tables still, even at, you know, 65 years old, distributing books? So it is possible. If you are out there all the time and or at least some time going out and realizing that I need to be awake, because I need to help these people. I need to be fresh. It has to be fresh, you know. It has to be a fresh inspiration. And then, of course, if something happens to you and you realize that you might not have much time left on this planet, so that also can be an inspiration, realizing that our clock is ticking away. So we better do some serious deep work in our Krishna consciousness. Those are a few things. She has something to add to it. Either one.
Krishna, since you were talking so much about inspiration, my family and I visited Dina Tarney the other day and spent some quality time with her. She's the author of Yamuna Devi's biography. So we're talking about enthusiasm and patience. And she said she had read Prabhupada's books, and the first temple she tried to join was in New York. And she said she lasted 2 days. There were rats and, you know, very eccentric people. And she said, I ran out of there and was like tearing off my sari with one hand and putting out my arm for the cab with to wave it down. And then she tried again in Columbus, Ohio. She said, I lasted about a week there. And then I think maybe Gainesville. And she just felt like she could not do it, live in a temple with the circumstances. So she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and explained her situation. And I love this Krishna consciousness in your books. I just don't think I can manage. So she was traveling around, and it was like a miracle that somehow she ended back in Gainesville, and there was a letter from Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, yes, I can understand. He said, there are three things that are required, and he said the first one was enthusiasm, and the second was determination, and the third one was patience. He said if any one of these is missing or lacking, then your spiritual life will be very, very difficult, so please try to be patient and follow these principles.
How patient Prabhupada was, so patient. Nice.
Such a nice, inspiring class. Thank you. I was transcribing some of the interviews in preparation for the movie Acharya by Vishakha and Yadavarpa. And Harisori Prabhu said that Prabhupada had told him in New York there he would go back to the shipyard sometime to see the schedule for a return trip back to India. He would go occasionally, and after some time, then the ticket agent said to Prabhupada, I see you coming. Why don't you book a ticket? And Prabhupada said, I come when I feel discouraged. So it was amazing to know that Srila Prabhupada felt discouraged at times, but yet he certainly held fast to the instructions of his guru despite that. And even in an interview with Sally Agarwal, he wrote a letter to Sally saying, this was in uptown New York when the blackout occurred during the winter. And he said to her, sometimes I feel night starvation. He was not getting proper food and didn't have a burner to cook on even. And I feel like going back. Yeah, he endured so much for us. We are eternally indebted. Hare Krishna.
We should show our appreciation by enduring whatever we have to spread Krishna consciousness. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.